your presence would be in the place, that you would open hearts and minds to receive your words this morning, and just continue to bless the service. Amen. Hey, Mark, I can't see you, man. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I like to be able to see who I'm looking at. Before I get into the Word, as Don said earlier, we went down to Hope Hill Children's Home a couple weeks ago, six of us. And I am prepared to share. I have my tissues. If anybody's ever been to Hope Hill, you will understand that. I'm going to do my best to kind of give you just a little overview of some of the highlights of our trip. For those of you who don't know, Hope Hill Children's Home is just what it says. It's a children's home in Kentucky. It's a Church of God ministry. We've been going there, well, pretty regular for probably 10 or 12 years now. Not sure how long. Currently, they house 40 young women on the hill, we call it. And the purpose of Life on the Hill is to help these girls get hope. These girls have a variety of reasons for being there. I'm not going to go into all that because it'll make you cry before I even get started into the good stuff. But they're there to get counseled, educated, off of drugs, whatever it is that they need, Hope Hill can provide for them to help them to get back with their families or into foster care, or into college, whatever the case may be. But I wanted to share a little bit about Hope Hill, what's been going on, because I think it's pretty cool. When we send teams down to Hope Hill, I don't know if you've ever thought it through, but when you put your offering in the plate, that allows us to go to Hope Hill, to South Dakota, to other places. So you all have a part in these trips, even if you aren't physically there. And I think that's important to remember as we do missions. We can't all go, but we're all a part of that. In there, they put out a newsletter, quarterly, I think it is. This young lady in the pink on the front cover, I won't read the whole article, it's rather lengthy. That young lady's name is Brittany. When Brittany was 14, she was a resident of Hope Hill. She was in the program for a year, got into foster home, now works at Hope Hill, and fosters children. That's what we do by going to Hope Hill and giving these girls some hope. So that's just one example. But we also had the joy. They just built a new school and wellness center for the girls, so we got to actually hang out and play kickball. Buffy, you're probably still recovering from the kickball excursion. Beautiful new facility. But again, our work, part of that is what we do when we go and serve, because we always support the ongoing missions of Hope Hill as well. The school is beautiful. The facility is just fantastic. It allows the girls to be indoors and active all year round. But we went short trip. Christmas trip is always a short one. It's hard. You're, 10 hours down, a whirlwind while you're there, and then a long trip back. So it's sometimes hard to connect with the girls as much as you would like to. But I think the six of us that went had a fantastic time. Of course, the camp is always very receptive, and they bend over backwards to allow us to minister to the girls as much as we can and want. We did some of the basic meet and greet, get to know you stuff. We played kickball, basketball, had a chapel service with them, and of course a prayer time altar call. I wanted to share just a little bit about that. Now, this is my method of keeping track of the girls. You can see it's a little worn, but I no way I can remember 40 names. If I remember two or three, I'm really feeling good about myself. So I write things down, and I ask the girls to tell me something to help me remember them. I'll give you just an example. April likes to draw. Tasha is a hardhead. Allison had pink hair. She was easy. So I do these little things so that when I see them, I can say, oh, pink hair, you're, you know, so-and-so. Didn't work real well, to be honest with you. But it worked well enough that when we had altar call at chapel, the girls that came to pray with me, I knew every one of their names. So God blessed me with a short-term memory there, which I usually don't have. But I wanted to share just a couple of the girls' prayers, and then I want to share a letter that I asked Ruth to write, just to give me a little about her experience at Hope Hill. This just to give you a highlight of some of the things the girls are dealing with. I had all the girls write things down, but this one. I pray that I get home soon and stay strong and clean. Pray for my friend Shay to be able to work through her personal struggles and allow her to see people that love her. Show me a reason to live. That's from Shay. Help me make the right choices and to let him know that he loves me. So on and so on. Now, a couple of them that struck me as kind of interesting that we usually don't get is we had requests from the staff for prayer. The staff has a hard job. Can you imagine being in a ministry where you're with 40 teenage girls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And dealing with all the normal stuff plus all the on-top stuff. So I thought it was encouraging that several of the staff members also asked us to pray for them. But I could spend all day up here on that, but I do have another message I want to share. But I did want to give you a little highlight of some of the trip. Does anybody know Ruth? I asked Ruth to go to Hope Hill, a couple months ago. You know what Ruth told me? I can't go there. I'm old. I got medical problems, blah, blah, blah. So me and Ruth decided that we would pray about it. And guess where Ruth went over Christmas? So and I didn't want to put her on the spot by getting her up here, so I asked her to write just some thoughts down. So I'm going to read this. She handed it to me this morning. My trip to Hope Hill, Kentucky. First, I want to thank God for helping me to go with Tim and the others. When Tim asked me to go, I told him I couldn't because of medical problems I have. Tim told me I had a lot of praying to do, and so I prayed day and night and asked others to pray for me. I went, and I had no problems. The whole time I was with the others. God does answer prayers in a big way. Meeting the girls for the first time was amazing. And the talks we had would be something I will never forget the rest of my life. The girls had different reasons for being there, and I'll always remember their eyes, some sad, some hurt, some angry. I just pray I put a little hope in their lives. The best part was how the girls all called me Granny, and they were always glad to see me, and I think they loved me. The girls are very fun to be with. They're just teenagers. They just like to have fun. But as you can see, Ruth is maybe a little older than the rest of us. So they nicknamed her Granny. And one of the girls gave Granny a card. It says, God bless you. Keep your beautiful smile. We love you. Merry Christmas. I'm going to read this and then I'll... It says, Granny, it was an honor to meet you. You have moved my heart. It was fun playing kickball with you guys. You're an amazing person, and I hope that you never feel different. Life can get hard, but with God, life's easier. God bless you. Oh, by the way, Ruth, she doesn't run real fast, but she can kick a kickball pretty good. We actually had Ruth running around the bases, kind of, with Chrissy Kaufman's help. It was kind of fun. It's one of those things I wish we could take pictures, but we're not allowed because of confidentiality with the girls, so we can't really take a lot of pictures. But if you could see Ruth running the bases in the gym, with Chrissy Kaufman helping her, and the girls just playing along to beat all. She scored more runs than anybody. I don't know. So we had a lot of fun, but the highlight for me is always just talking with the girls, of course. This is why the tissues are here. I'm doing pretty good so far. But one of the highlights for me is always the chapel service. 40 girls in a small chapel, probably a fourth the size of the sanctuary, so cozy. Everybody right in. And again, they must have liked Granny because they saved her a spot right in amongst them, which I thought was really cool. After Joe shared a brief word, we had, of course, a prayer and altar call. And I have no idea what anybody else did during that time. But I went up to start the prayer time. And in the front of the chapel is just a small cross, maybe stands that high, sitting on the ground. And around the cross are a bunch of white rocks. I don't know if anybody was on the white rock trip. Several years ago, we had the girls write what they wanted to get rid of on these white rocks, and we put them at the foot of the cross that stands outside the chapel. Those rocks are still there. They're around this little cross in the front of the chapel. So I went up and I just knelt at the cross, praying that some of the girls would come. And then, as I'm praying, one by one, girls start coming and kneeling in front of me. Have you ever been broken and amazed? These girls coming to me, I'm nobody, but they came and they just knelt until I was fully encircled by girls. And I prayed for each one of them and remembered each one of their names. And was in tears the entire time. And they were in tears. But at the end, one young lady, Michaela, sat down next to me. And she looked at me and she said, I want to know more about this Jesus you guys all talk about. And I just sat on the floor of the chapel and talked to Michaela about God. That's what it's about. That's why we go to Hope Hill, to South Dakota. So if you ever think you're not making a difference, yeah, it's all right, Patty. You can bring me another tissue when you get a chance. But that's what it's about. Hope Hill is a new beginning. Okay. Now, we've been hearing a lot about Jesus and his birth and death and resurrection over the last month. Jesus was that perfect gift, that free gift for mankind, a new beginning for us. Hope Hill is a new beginning for the girls, a new hope. And when we go there, you all are a part of that. And I wanted to share a little bit of that with you. But Christ is our new beginning. So as we get into the Word, I have a very simple message today. We all can have a new beginning in Christ starting today. Could have started 20 years ago, could have started tomorrow, but today's a great day for it to start. A new beginning is always an awesome thing. So I'm going to get started with that. But before I do that, I wanted to have a little fun. We're going to give you a little quiz. If I had, what's that show, The Family Feud, where they guess the top answers? I don't have one of those, so it's okay. And I don't have a prize for you. But it's New Year's coming up. A couple days we'll be into the new year, talking about new beginnings that we can have in Christ. So I wanted to just have a little fun. New Year's resolutions. How many of us make New Year's resolutions? I'm not going to raise my hand because I don't. You know why I don't? Because I never keep them. So why bother? So not many New Year's resolutions, people. I only saw like two or three hands. Surely some of you make silly New Year's resolutions, right? Okay. I want you to shout out some answers. Top 10. What are the top 10 New Year's resolutions people make and then don't keep? This is from Times Magazine, by the way. So they actually did a survey on this stuff. Lose weight. Number one.
Okay.
Oh, exercise. That's on there somewhere. Okay, keep going. Quit smoking.
Save money.
Get out of debt, save money. Quit drinking. Eat healthier. Oh, you guys are good. There's a couple on here that I wouldn't have guessed that. We'll see if you did them. Couple more. Come on. How about this one? Go back to school, learn something new. I don't know. I think that school thing's a little overrated, but how about this? Spend more time with family. And they break it. Now remember, these are things you make and don't do. Travel to new places. No, that's not on here, sorry. Hopefully that's one you would keep if you'd made that one. Make a difference volunteer. I wouldn't have. So those are kind of the top 10 that people make and don't really keep. Now, I thought this would be kind of fun. I also put in a search for the strangest New Year's resolutions. Get this. Eat more McDonald's food. I don't know. Enjoy the sweeter side of life. Eat more Hershey Kisses. I like that one. No, nothing offensive on this one if you're one of these people. Wear something other than sweatpants to the grocery store. I couldn't help that. How many times you go to the grocery store, everybody's walking around in their pajamas. You'll love this one. Get a friend to start smoking so I won't feel so guilty for not quitting. I actually got these in the same site as the reputable Times Magazine one. I thought it was kind of ridiculous. And then sin as much as possible and go to hell. That was actually posted on a site. Some of these people are kind of weird. But that being said, I want to get into the Word a little bit. Your scripture sermon thing is blank. You'll find that. And I know that bugs some of you that the scriptures aren't there. If anybody wants my scripture references later, be glad to share them with you. But on that big blank piece of paper on the inside of your bulletin, I want you to write something for me. So everybody open it up. If you're not one of those that follows directions well and writes things down, that's okay. But I want you to think about this. Just write this question. Am I sure? Am I sure? That's all you got to write. Okay? Am I sure? Okay. Before I get started into the main message, I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 2 just for a minute, just to kind of refresh our minds as to why we're here. Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 14. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I know we've read that several times the last month probably. But that's what it's about. God sent his son for us. I just wanted you to have that thought in your head as we go on. Okay, if you want to follow along a little bit, there are some scriptures that will be easy to find. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 3 through 5. Okay, I'm going to read two versions here because they read a little different. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, soil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I'll read it out of another version here for you. It's because it reads a little different. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Oop, wait a minute. First Peter 1. Sorry, reading the wrong verse. Doesn't work if you read out of James. Just saying. Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. To be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Did you get that? A new birth because of Jesus for you, for me. Okay? Now, I said the message was pretty simple today. The message is that that new birth is required. It's mandatory. It's the only way we're getting in to heaven is to follow Jesus and acknowledge him as born, died, resurrected for us. That's the only way in. The scripture is very specific. So the new birth, what does it mean? Let's break it down a little bit. And keep that question you wrote down in the back of your mind. Am I sure? The new birth is a new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If we are in Christ, the old is gone, the new comes, right? As soon as we accept the Lord, all that old junk behind us, time to get going with the new. We are a new creature. The old things pass away, new things have come. When we accept Christ into our heart, there is a change. There should be a change. The old should not be allowed to dwell in there because God is now in there. So that old sin, them old things, they're gone. So if you've had that new birth, there should be a change in you. Okay? The new birth is a spiritual resurrection. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. You might want to just write these down on the outline if you want. I will let you write that down. It says, and you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Even when we were sinners, even when we were doing all the wrong things, God, being rich in his mercy, sent his Son. God loves us so much that even when we're still screwing up, he sends his Son for us. I found that very hard to believe when I didn't know the Lord, that he would love me. I find that hugely preposterous. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't know this God, but I thought, why would he care about me? I wasn't like over the edge a sinner. I thought I was, you know, I had some issues, yeah. But I wasn't like, you know, thinking I'm going to hell any minute. But I didn't have that picture that God loved me so much that even while I was doing the wrong things, he still loved me. And I think that's important to know. The new birth is a resurrection, out with the old, in with the new. And I think we need to know that because the world is a sinful place. The world is full of things that are going to entice us and drag us away from God. Even after we have the new birth, we still need to be cautious and aware because the enemy is out there prowling like a lion waiting to devour us. The word tells us that. We are still going to be tested and have trials even after we are born again. The word tells us that. But the word also tells us that when we have that new birth, we are a new creature and we should be transformed, resurrected spiritually. We should be different. And having that power of the Holy Spirit in us is what enables us to overcome the enemy. So as you're going through your trials and struggles, you may still struggle with some of those things, but if you draw on the power of God and his power and his Spirit, you can overcome all of that and have that resurrection power. The new birth is a regeneration. If you turn to the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. It goes hand in hand with what I've been saying. We are renewed, regenerated, not by what we do, but by God's great mercy and love for us, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we can draw on that power to do what we need to do, to follow Christ in the way he calls us to follow. The new birth is partaking of God's divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, "For these he granted us to his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world of lust." Become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world of the lost. Do you ever think that you have even a part of God's divine nature? We are children of God. God dwells in us. Think about that. God in me. God in us. We have the power. We have the ability to do amazing things that we could never do on our own because of that power within us when we accept the Lord. The new birth is receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord by faith. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it reads, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Children of God, if we believe in his name. Okay? The new birth is being made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Christ came and walked the earth and died for us, for our sins, to take all of that away. He was the perfect gift. So we are a new creation. We should be spiritually resurrected. We should look different as we walk our walk. And if we don't, then I think we need to look at our walk and see what's missing. The new birth is compulsory. If you are to become a child of God, you must be born again. It's not optional. It is not optional. When I first started to hear about God through my wife and my brother and different people, my first thought was, what do I need him for? I'm not a bad guy. I'm okay. I believed in heaven. I had heard of heaven and hell. I thought, yeah, must be good things. But you know the piece of the puzzle I was missing? Was, what if I'm wrong? What if being a good, nice guy isn't quite enough? And I don't get into heaven. What's the alternative? And I thought, I don't know if that alternative is anything I want to explore. So then I started actually giving this a little more thought and a little more prayer and actually being in the Word more and being challenged. Because saying I believe in God is not good enough. You have to demonstrate that by being born again. There is only one way, and that's through Christ. John chapter 3, verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born again. The only way into the kingdom is through Christ, through that acknowledgement that he is our Lord and Savior. And once that is acknowledged, Scripture goes on to say that no one who is born of God practices sin, because God now abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Again, there should be a change when you accept the Lord. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have not been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and abiding Word of God. There's only one way in, folks, and that's through Christ. All the rest, we can fool ourselves all day long, but the rest of it isn't going to get us where we want to go. There's no other way except through Christ. I have 7 steps we can follow to get there if you aren't sure. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it reads, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men, but which we must be saved. One way in. Salvation requires an open mind and a receptive heart. Step 1. Did you know it's a fact that God loves you? Everybody believe God loves them? No matter where you stand, everybody likes to think that God loves them, right? We have to acknowledge that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a fact. God loves you. It's also a fact in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we need Christ to save us. It's a fact that you are now dead in sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a fact. Right now, you're a sinner. If you haven't accepted the Lord, if you haven't been born again and resurrected, you are a sinner and you are dead. You are going to hell. There's no alternative. If we believe in heaven and hell, if you're not in heaven, you're going to hell. It's a fact. Sometimes we overlook the facts and say, oh, I'm good enough. I'm not a big sinner. I'm just a little sinner. Well, it doesn't matter. If you haven't accepted the Lord, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. It's a fact. Christ died for you. Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you and me. It's a fact that you can be saved by faith in Christ. Acts 16, verse 30 and 31. Gentleman asked a question, "Sir, what must we do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, you and your household." You have to believe that you can be saved. You have to believe that Christ came and died for you. You have to believe certain things. It's a fact. You can be saved and know it for sure. 1 John 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's a fact. I can be saved and know it. When I accepted the Lord, I knew it. There was a change in me. If you've accepted the Lord, there's a change in you. Look at the question you wrote in your bulletins. Are you sure? It's a fact that you are now a child of God and you are to obey him. Acts chapter 5, 29 through 32. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." You are a child of God if you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you if you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Again, many say they believe in God in heaven, but they don't have a relationship with God. They've never taken steps to ensure their salvation. I don't know where anybody in this room stands. For me, it happened about 25 years ago, after I had been going to church for 5 years, that I truly got it. Up until then, I thought I was going to squeak in just by being a good guy. There's only one way in. Being a good person is not enough. Giving to the poor is not enough. Doing all those right things is not enough. I can do all of those things and never have accepted truly God into my life, and I am not getting in. I have to accept him and give him those sins and do all those things that the Word tells me to do. I have to believe, and there should be an evident change when that happens. So ask yourself, am I sure? Am I sure of my salvation? Am I truly a child of God? Am I truly going to join him one day in heaven? Because that's an important question to ask ourselves as we go into the new year. Are you sure? How about we try a few New Year's resolutions that actually matter? Okay? How about we make a commitment to repent and accept God as our Savior if we haven't done that? I bet that one will stick. How about each day we thank God for His Son and for loving us so much to make it possible for us to be in heaven with Him one day? How about each day we just praise God for all the stuff He gives us? How many times do we go through the day and we're not thankful about one blasted thing? How about we just give God the praise for the stuff He gives us each day? How about each day we make a resolution that we be in the Word? Sounds simple, doesn't it? How many times do we go a day and not in the Word? How about we be in prayer every day? These are some resolutions that matter to God. You could go on with this list for a long time. Make a difference. Be in prayer, be in the Word. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. Work in your gifts. Do all of those things that God has empowered you to do through His Holy Spirit when you accepted Him. The altars are open as the team comes back. I'm going to close us in prayer. If you have prayer needs, the elders are available. Be happy to pray with you wherever you stand. If you're sure, great. I'm happy for you. If you're not sure, talk to one of the elders, talk to somebody and make sure. If you've never accepted Christ and you want to know more, talk to somebody. It's a new beginning. We can start from this day and move forward. Are you sure of your salvation? As the team gets us closed out, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for a simple but powerful message that You gave me weeks ago, Lord. Salvation message, maybe some would call it. Lord, I call it just making me aware of my salvation, of Your power, of what You have asked me to be, what You have allowed through Your birth of Your Son, through His death and resurrection. It's not just words in a book, Lord. It's eternal life or eternal damnation if we don't follow You. So help us, Lord, as the team closes us in worship, that we would just think about that question. Am I sure of my salvation? Give us the boldness to come forth and find someone if we need to. Grab a friend in the aisle. Grab a neighbor. If you need prayer, come. If you need salvation, come. If you're sure and you just want to thank God for that salvation, come and just praise Him. But come.
Of Your presence, I know there.